Please take your Bibles and turn to Revelation chapter 3. We're going to once again read of the Laodicean church, beginning to read with the 14th verse, Revelation 3:14, as we continue through the study here of this church, the church age that we're in right now. We're a part of this church age. It's the time, anyway. We don't need to be a part of it, I guess. Revelation chapter 3, verse 14. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increase with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame, I am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. Let's begin with prayer. Father, thank you today that we can come together and hear your precious word. And please, as the times progress, I just ask that the folks will begin, the folks that have been duped by this Laodicean church, that they will wake up and see the light, your light, Lord Jesus, and find a good Bible preaching church, and that they'll come and be present and be faithful to the church and recognize the urgency and recognize the time, because Father, there is so little time before your return, and there is so much work to do in getting out the gospel and telling the lost that they're lost and letting your word touch their heart and show them the way to you, Lord Jesus. Please, that we are in fervent prayer for the neighbors and our families that do not know your Son, the Lord Jesus. Dear Father, please just put a burden in our hearts, and the only way, Father, that we can have that is to know more about Jesus. So please guide and lead us today now, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Again, as we review just a little bit from last week, we noticed that the Church of Philadelphia, they gave no words of bragging, of boasting, gave no words of their accomplishments, but then we get to the Church of Laodicea, and we find that they are very proud, and they begin to say, you know, I'm rich, I have need of nothing. And so, and that is of the day we're living in, that mankind as a whole has no need for our Lord. They are proud, and again, they see the need for money and for wealth much more than they see the need for the presence of God in their life and to live and to walk each day. And this rich church was rich materially. They showed it in not only their pocketbook, but in their attitude. They were proud of what they had, and they showed it, and they flaunted it, you might say. And it didn't just stay in the homes of these people, but it came right into the church. And so they just had this magnificent cathedral that they would come to worship in. And Jesus tells us very clear that where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And so if you have such a love for for material things and for money. Be careful, my friend, because you have put the Lord Jesus back, and he does not deserve or and must not be in second place in our lives. He must be first and foremost in our life. Most churches today, as the Church of Laodicea, has followed this way, and it has been to their ruin. Yes, the churches in many cases are full. They are very, very wealthy, but the presence of Jesus is gone. They have put all this ahead of the Lord Jesus. They have set him aside, and in many cases, he has left, forced to leave the church because of their life and their love for things and love for money more than the love for Jesus. We read last week Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." Wealth and things at the expense of being spiritual is a curse. They said clearly in verse 17 here, "I have need of nothing. I am rich, I am increased with goods, and have need of nothing." When people make a statement like that, they have no room in their life for Jesus. And when you have no room for Jesus, you have no hope. You have no strength. You have no power. And there is absolutely no place, no room for Jesus in the Laodicean church. And that, again, is the church age that we find ourselves today. People can go to church and they can hear a wonderful social gospel preached and their ears are tickled and they leave and says, "Boy, that was the best preaching I've ever heard, and I just love it, can't wait to get back the next week." And they must be okay because they're religious and they're spiritual, you know. But they're not. Because they are missing Jesus. They're missing the most important part. They do not know the Lord Jesus as their Savior. Everything is built upon the things of this world. And again, they have no room, no place for Jesus in their life. If they did not need anything, they have no need of anything that Jesus has. You think about that. When they reject the gospel, when you say, "Oh, won't you trust in Jesus?" And they reject that, understand that in their heart and in their life and in their mind, they have no need for Jesus, no need for him. Can you imagine saying to the Son of God, "I have no need of you"? We are just in the Gospel of John on Carthage and doing the Gospel of John. We have the first two verses, and you always see something a little new, but you see in the beginning was the Word. And when you look at those words, do you realize that the first two verses in the Gospel of John is pre-Genesis? Because Genesis 1:1 says, "In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth." And so John chapter 1, verse 1 and 2 is before that, because the Word, being Jesus, was before the world. And if you read and enjoy the study of the Gospel of John, you'll find who created the world. The Lord Jesus did, the Son of God. And so when we have the Son of God, the creator of the world, the Son of God, Savior of the world, and yet someone that is born of the flesh would say, "I don't have any need of you"? No need of the Son of God? And yet that's the condition, and I know all of you folks have run into people that just throw up their hands. They don't want to hear anything about the gospel. They don't want to hear anything about the Lord Jesus. They don't want to hear anything about you must be born again. And no matter how religious they may seem, they are saying, "I don't need Jesus." And you look a little further into this study, you find that, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." He's on the outside of this church. This church is not bothered in any way, the church of Laodicea, with the judgment that's to come. They do not see the wrath of God. The only thing they see and talk about, God is good. There is no hell, but if there was a hell, God is love and He will send no one to such a place. That's our church today. A loving father would surely send no one there. They ignore the facts. They ignore the Word of God that God is a consuming fire. God is angry with the wicked. And God judges in righteousness. He is a perfect judge. The Scripture says, as we look at the 17th verse here, we have need of nothing. And the words that if you want to underline, you know, underline those words. They are, I am rich and increased with goods. I have need of nothing. And that includes Jesus. Knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. And I have underlined, knowest not. And that's the whole problem, because they don't know. They don't know. They have been convinced by the god of this world, the devil, that they're fine. They have been convinced by the god of this world that to have possessions and wealth and things is everything. But the creator of this world has priorities right. And he said, if you don't know me and don't have me, you have nothing. Nothing. You can be the richest of all the world. You can possess more goods and things and stuff than all, you know, of all the world. And there are people that are the richest. And if they do not have Jesus, they do not have Jesus, it is clear that you have nothing. Knowest not. And that's a question to ask a person. If you said, would you like to trust in Jesus today? And they says, no. And you can take these words and you say, knowest not that you are poor, that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. That's the condition you're in if you reject Jesus. And that's not me saying it. That's the Word of God saying it. That's what you have. You think you have everything. You have nothing. Please, please come to Jesus. Beg Him to come to Jesus. If they continue to stand away from the Lord Jesus and I don't need you, they are saying that I don't know and I don't want to know. And that's exactly the condition they're in. Knowest not. They're blind. They don't know they're blind. They're of the world. They're blinded by the things of the world. Wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. These people did not know their condition, their spiritual condition. They didn't know it. A few years ago, there was a farmer that hadn't been feeling real well, and he went to the doctor, and the doctor told him that he had a cancer, and that cancer was killing him. And he told him that, he says, you go home and you get your things in order because you'll be dead in 3 days. He was dead in two. He was dead in two. That man believed the doctor. He went home and he got everything in order, as much as you can in 2 days. And he died. He heeded the doctor's words. He didn't know. He just wasn't feeling real good. He had no idea that what he had was going to kill him in 2 days. in 2 days. Neither does people when you talk to them about their sin. They don't realize that in 2 days they could be dead. They don't understand that. They do not know. Knowest not, the scripture says here. And they don't. They don't know the shape they're in. They don't know the condition they're in. They think they're fine. They're healthy. They're good. They're fine. And today, or tomorrow, or the following day, or next week, or next month, any one of us here, anyone in all the world, will take their last breath, and that'll be it. And the reason that they're going to go off into eternity, unto the lake of fire, is because they don't know. Knowest not your condition. Knowest not that you're wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Don't you know that? No, they don't. They're mighty. They're strong. They're healthy. Many folks are very active in church. But they do not know Jesus. Knowest not, the scripture says. Knowest not. They are so totally indifferent to the truth, to the Word of God, to the gospel, and to Christ Himself. They're indifferent. They're so indifferent. They're so lukewarm that it's just like as an iron, their conscience is seared like a hot iron. Their past feeling. Their conscience is gone. They don't realize that they're a sin sick person. That they're dying. Preachers need to preach. You're dying. They go to a doctor, someone of this world, and they say to you, "You're dying." Do you believe them? Do you know anyone in your lifetime that has your past families, past friends? Why are they not here? You know, some of your family members, my grandfather, great-grandfather, why aren't they here? They died. Everyone dies. How can the world deny that? The wages of sin is death. Everyone dies. So why don't they believe you when you say, "The wages of sin is death"? Why don't they believe the preachers when the preacher preaches that your sin is going to cost you your spiritual life? You're going to be separated from God eternally in the lake of fire if you don't get saved. You're sick. And they don't want to hear it. No, it's not. That's what the scripture says. When you have someone that rejects Jesus, it's because they don't know. Their conscience is so seared by the day of Laodicea. They are so lukewarm that nothing affects them. Nothing affects them. It's a sad, sad day that we live in. They think they're just fine. They're not. They're wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. To show you that this is not the first time that we have heard about what is taking place today, we could go all the way back to the book of Genesis and find Noah. But we're just going to go back to the book of Matthew because it is also talked about there concerning Noah. So please turn with me back to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24, and we're going to begin reading with verse 36. Now listen carefully to what this has to say. Matthew chapter 24, verse 36. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Jesus is speaking here. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. And then it goes in what's going to take place. You know, two were in the field, one was taken, one was left. Two was at the mill, one was taken, one was left. But as we look back at that verse 38 and 39, look at those words, knew not. Knew not until the flood came. There's going to be a time that those that reject Jesus and have rejected Jesus will know. But when that time of judgment came, the time of the physical death came, they knew. And those that we love, those that we know that reject the Lord Jesus, they knew the second they stepped off into eternity. They knew. But today, their conscience is so seared that they know not. If you go back into Genesis, you'll find that the folks of that day were very industrious. They were very educated prior to the flood. And that education, and they built mighty cities, and all those things were built prior to the flood. And the book of Genesis tells us of those things. And so here comes all that greatness and that strength and that power and that intelligence. But it was without Jesus. They had ignored the presence of God, even though the time was so close. If you look at the timetable, I've always thought this was interesting. If you look at the timetable, Adam could have known Lamech. And Lamech is Noah's dad. Think about that. That's how, I mean, yes, they lived longer than 70 years. But Lamech, Noah's dad, Lamech, could have crossed the path of Adam, could have heard Adam speak, could have seen the first man and woman that was ever created. You think about that, and yet corruption and sin had become so strong that God had to destroy everything upon this earth. And he gave 100 years to Noah to preach the word and to build the ark. And he told him why he was building the ark. That the rains are going to come and the floods are going to come and you're all going to be drowned because there's only one means of salvation. It's in that boat right there. You come aboard with me. No, it's not. That the flood's coming. No, it's not that you're miserable, poor, wretched, blind. No, it's not. Ignorance. How can someone be so smart and so ignorant at the same time? It's because they're worldly smart. They're not spiritually smart. The only way we can be spiritually smart is to know Jesus. And so be in prayer that they hear the word, that the word convicts their heart, and they turn to the Lord Jesus. things were much like the days of Noah as they are today. It takes a lot of money to eat, and the eating word there is gluttonous. It just has so much, and as we do today. The drinking takes a lot of money. If you're gonna drink alcohol, and if you look, you'll find that today why the alcohol and the drugs, it takes so much money to have those pleasures of the world. And then as we look at the marrying and giving in marriage they would marry and then divorce and marry and divorce and marry and divorce. And it takes money to do that. Lots of money. They had lots of money. Back in the time with Abraham, when Lot was down in Sodom, the cities of the valley there, history says that they were down to where they were only working about a day and a half to 2 days a week. Because in that period of time, they could make all the money they needed to live and to do whatever they wanted to do. And so by possessing all that money, then they would go out and play the rest of the week, and it got to the place that God had to destroy all the cities of the valley. So we have Noah as an example, and we have here the telling of the church of Laodicea, and it says, "Knowest not, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not." It's their ignorance. They do not know their condition. They do not know their condition. They knew not. Why does someone not come to the Lord Jesus? They don't know. They don't know. They're ignorant to the fact. The flood came and destroyed everything except Noah and his family, who was safe in the ark. Why did Noah? Why was he saved in his family? They knew. They listened. They believed. Why was all the rest of the world destroyed? It wasn't because it wasn't told. It's because they didn't listen. Don't you know your condition? Don't you know your condition? You know, again, physically, when something's wrong physically, we're very much aware, or we try to find out what's wrong. Something in our body is not working right. And so what are we going to do? We got to do this test and get this test, and then we'll get this result, and hopefully then the doctor can tell me what's wrong. But when a conscience is so seared, you don't even realize your old sinful flesh. You don't realize that you're a sinner and you're lost. The world has told you for so long how good you are. And I have so much money that I can do whatever I want to do whenever I want to do it, so what's it matter? They don't know. They don't know their condition. Jesus is our ark. When judgment strikes on this earth, we will be safe with Him in the skies. What a wonderful promise for those that believe, as Noah was safe in the ark with Jesus. Did you know He was in the ark? Noah wasn't there alone. God was with him. God opened the closed the door, and He opened the door. All the Laodiceans, all those that have followed after their teaching and their doctrine, all that have fallen in love with the things of this world, will be spewed out. Not one will slip into heaven. Not one will find their way to the home that we're going to enjoy if you know Jesus. Not one. We have got to be living in the very